This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل واعلموا أنما غنمتم من شيء فأن لله خمسه وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل إن كنتم آمنتم بالله وما أنزلنا على عبدنا يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان والله على كل شيء قدير. As I continue with the series of the laws of success or victory, taken from Surah Al-Anfal, I purposefully clumped up the three laws that talk about one way or another money. I talked about materialism and how is the pitfall. The surah was named after it, Anfal, because that's what will be our demise eventually if we're not aware of it. And then we talked about preparation, and a part of that is the financial one. And then today I want to talk about a third and important concept. Before I do, what we're seeing on TV and on throughout social media is just all too familiar. It's just all too familiar. We've seen this before. You saw this. We've seen this before over the last 2 to 3 decades. We've seen it in Iraq. We've seen it in Afghanistan. We've seen it in my home country, Syria. We've seen it in Yemen and Libya. We've seen it in the parts of Africa that people unfortunately forget about and don't talk about, happening right now in Sudan. These things that we see that are occurring to our brothers and sisters, whether it's in the Holy Land or it's in Sudan or it's other parts of the world, tracing back to what happened in Kosovo 30 years ago, it's just all too familiar. It's the same pictures, just in different places. It's the same stuff occurring to the same group of people, just by different culprits and in different times and in different spaces. But it's the same thing. And I'm quite certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all this occurring to us so that these wake-up calls finally bring the consciousness of this ummah back to where it needs to be again. These wake-up calls that occur throughout time, in different places, in different groups of people, are designed to wake up groups and nations from their slumber, for lack of a better word. And I believe with all certainty that from under the rubble, this ummah will stand up again. It will, from under the rubble of the homes and the houses of civilians that were buried under it, this ummah will find its foot stand again. And there will be change again. I believe that it will come sooner than maybe we even think is possible. And all I believe that is important for us is that we just serve as a positive force in that movement, that we are not individuals or groups that are holding it back, that are pushing the wheel in the wrong direction. That's really all you can hope for in this life. There's really not much else you can do within the short time that you're around and within the limitations of your personal capacity. It's just trying to be on the right side of the equation. The right side of the equation, just pushing the wheel in the right direction. And that's the only explanation that I have for what continues to occur and what's happening today, what we are witnessing on an ongoing basis. The people in Gaza and the people in Sudan and all across the Muslim world. And that's why I chose this series, to talk about the laws of success. There are laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in a 10-page surah. Very concise and summarized and very direct. It doesn't go into a lot of detail. It doesn't do like Surah Al-Baqarah or Surah Al-Nisa does and talk about the concept multiple times from different angles. It's very direct. It talks about things very clearly. So that, because that's how you want laws to be. You want them concise, you want them clear. And if you don't follow all of these laws, I will say it to that, all of them, not half of them and not three quarters of them and not 99% of them, but all of them, then we will continue to struggle in the way that we are struggling, if not, wal-iyadu billah, worse. The concept of waqf. This ayah that I shared with you was earth-breaking. Because for the first time in the history of the Islamic law, it explained the concept of there being something that has a percentage that is going to be mawquf, that is going to be an endowment, al-khums, a fifth of what's going to be made from any given battle was going to be mawquf. It doesn't belong to anyone. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet. This is very important. When you go and you study the concept of endowment, they talk about Marcus Aurelius being the first person who made endowment stuff for philosophers. It's all a lie. The first actual movement of endowment was the awqaf and the madrasas that were made in North Africa, the universities that were made as endowments. This is the first stuff that you can actually find documented historically. But you can go beyond before that, because the first person to actually talk about what endowment was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It came through this ayah in the Quran. It was then It was elaborated on in وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ فَمَا أَوْجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْلٍ وَلَا رِكَابٍ مَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. Amongst other verses in the Quran that talk about this concept of waqf, of endowment. Once this verse was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ started teaching this a little bit more aggressively. And the hadith we have in Bukhari, I'm going to tell you this history of this so you understand why I'm talking about it, it's important. Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab would come to him, the hadith in Bukhari, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, أصبت مالا أو أصبت أرضا Wallahi ma indi min malin huwa anfasu minhu qatt. I've come across a piece of land that's mine now, and I'm telling you, this is the best piece of land or the best possession that I've ever had in my life. Ma ta'muruni an af'ala bihi. What do I do with it? Because they were excited. They were taught this concept of endowment and they were excited. So they asked him, what do I do? فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ إِن شِئْتَ حَبَّسْتَ أَصْلَهَا وَتَصَدَّقْتَ بِهَا. If you want, the best thing to do is تَحْبِيسَ أَصْلِهَا. What does that mean? It means make the actual possession an endowment. Make it a waqf. حَبِّسْهَا. Say that no one will ever own this till the day of judgment. This will be a waqf. And then everything that it produces will continue to feed into the Muslim ummah. فجعل رضي الله تعالى عنه عمر أن أصلها لا يباع ولا يورث ولا يوهب ويتصدق بما يخرج منها على الفقراء والمساكين وفي سبيل الله والرقاب وابن السبيل وعلى من يليها أن يأكل منها بالمعروف ويطعم صديقا غير متمول فيه. So this is the actual wording in Bukhari. That he said that the actual land is not to be gifted, it's not to be bought, it's not to be inherited, and everything that it produces will go for the needy and the masakeen and the refugees and the travelers and the people who are held as prisoners of war, etc., etc. And the person who is going to be responsible for it can eat and benefit themselves, they can take from it for themselves, and they can feed their friends as long as they don't do it for money. That's the wording. And then Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, he went and bought Bi'r Roma. He bought a well and he made it waqf. So that Muslims would eat and drink, would drink from it. And if others came to buy from it, then that wealth would go back to the Muslims. We know the hadith. Everyone knows the hadith in collection Imam Muslim. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. And one of them is صَدَقَ جَارِيَ. When the human being dies, all that you end up getting, if you want to get hasanat after you're dead, one of the three ways is that you put صَدَقَ جَارِيَ. Some form of an act of charity that continues after you, which is basically a form of endowment. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, in more detail in the hadith of Ibn Majah, with a reasonable chain of narration by Abu Huraira, he would say, إن مما يلحق المؤمن من حسناته بعد موته ولد صالح يدعو له أو علم علمه ونشره أو علم علمه ونشره أو مصحفا أو مصحف ورثه أو مسجد بناه أو بيت بناه لابن السبيل أو صدقة جارية أعطاها من ماله ونفسه وهو صحيح يتمنى الحياة ويخشى الموت يلحقه في قبره بعد موته من حسنات. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, amongst the things that can follow you into your grave in terms of hasanat is if you leave a child that you raised well and they do well and all the good deeds that they do and the dua that they make for you follows you. Or if you leave an act of charity, or if you teach and your teachings live on, or if you give a mushaf, or you build a masjid, or you build a home for refugees, you do something. This is what he said, obeyt banahu ibn al-sabih. He used that term, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was the birth of the concept of waqf and endowment. Without it, the Muslim ummah, and I attest to this, I put my life on this statement, that without the concept of waqf, this Muslim ummah would not have left the borders of the Arabic Peninsula. It would have not left what today is known as Al-Jazeera. It wouldn't have left it. Impossible. What allowed the Muslim ummah, what allowed this nation to expand and spread, what allowed Islam to spread, was the concept of Bayt al-Mal. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam began this himself, where the wealth would all be brought centrally and then distributed because there wasn't a lot of it. Nothing stayed. There was nothing ever more. It was all distributed almost immediately during his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, because the need was high and the amount was low. But then by the time Umar ibn al-Khattab was in office, now you had an actual Bayt Mal al-Muslimin. And people would put wealth in it. And that wealth would actually generate more wealth. And that more wealth would generate more wealth. And it would all go back to strengthen the ummah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when you study Hurub al-Riddah, when you hear the wars of apostasy, wasn't really apostasy. There's a little bit of a misconception here in terms of what happened. They didn't actually leave Islam. And they didn't actually say zakah is not fard. All they said, all the people said, is that we're not going to pay it to you. We'll do it on our own account. Like, I'll give my zakah to the person beside me. It's none of your business. And he fought them for that. And had he not done that, Islam would have stopped at the northern borders of Arabia. There was no hope for it to go anywhere. But because it stayed centralized, because there was an endowment fund, basically Bayt al-Mal, that the wealth would come into and then be distributed appropriately to those who need it, and for the reasons that are required for this ummah to stand on its feet, we were able to continue and move along. And this is extremely important in understanding what Islam actually teaches. There are sunan qawliya, things he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they're important. But then there's the legacy that he left in terms of what he did. And I find that sometimes we overlook that piece. This is the legacy he left us, alayhi salatu wasalam, the concept of endowments, the concept of waqf. This is what he left for us. Now, I do understand very clearly the basic difference in context between what a Muslim nation had in building his Bayt al-Mal. Obviously, the differences are clear. I think the basic idea still applies, though. I think the basic idea of waqf for Muslim communities still applies. For the longest times, all throughout history, Muslims, they strengthened and they funded all of what they wanted to do, their masajid and their universities, and through acts of endowment, through awqaf, through the waqf that they had. Actually, people would sometimes put all of their possessions as awqaf, in terms of inheritance. Instead of having their children inherit what they had, they would make it waqf. And they would make the beneficiaries of that waqf their children, so that they wouldn't sell the house or sell the actual land. And that land would continue to give them what they needed moving forward. And that still exists today. If you go to certain parts of the world, you'll find pieces of land that are waqf for a family lineage. That the father, before he passed away, he left just enough money for himself, and then he made everything he had waqf for his family. You can make waqf for a specific thing, for a specific reason as well. And the concept, in my opinion, is extremely important. As Muslims, we have to bring this back to our communities. We have to. This is what Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu said, so you understand the importance of this. Qala Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, مَا أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ ذَا مَقْدِرَ إِلَّا وَأَوْقَفْ. I don't know anyone from the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whether they're muhajirin or ansar, who had a little bit of money, except they made from their wealth something that was waqf. Except that they made sure that a part of their possessions, of their wealth, was waqf. And I think we have to do the same. Last week, I talked about being tired of talking about budgets. I wasn't talking about this place, so you're clear. I'm not talking about this center specifically. No, I'm talking on a much larger level. I'm talking about the discussions that occur within the Muslim community at large. When we talk about our centers, and we talk about advocacy, and we talk about what we need for schools, and we talk about what's needed, social support. The budgets that our organizations discuss are pathetic. They're actually very, and I'm very tired of listening to these numbers being pitched back and forth. If we want to take care of ourselves, then we have to be able to do better than that. If you want true advocacy, the institutions like NCCM and Hikmah should be better supported. If you want there to be proper social support and counseling, MRC has to be better supported. If you want our masajid to do things and actually serve people, we have to support them in a better way. But this support has to be based on services, not on your ability to market yourself. It shouldn't be based on your talent in fundraising. That's not how money should be gathered. That never was. I'm a good fundraiser, so I'll make more money. No, what services do you offer? What khair and barakah is there coming from you to the community? That should dictate how much actually this place makes money. This is important. If we don't do that, we're going to continue to be where we are. It's going to be the same complaints and same bickering and just everyone being upset and disgruntled and unsatisfied. It's because we're not utilizing the resources that we have effectively. The concept of waqf, what I'm asking you to think about today. Awqif shay'an lillah. Make something from, give something, make an endowment from yourself. From yourself, whatever, what do you have? You have a taxi company, one day a week, one car is waqf. Now you have a restaurant, one day a week, one table is waqf. You're a doctor, one seat a week is waqf. Whatever you, what do you got? Make something waqf. And if you have no money at all, then make some time waqf. What do you think, Ramadan is around the corner. What do you think i'tikaf means? I'tikaf means making yourself waqf. That's what i'tikaf means. It's stamping yourself, I am waqf. I will not do anything aside from serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally speaking, in the essence of the meaning, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to do no leisure activities, nothing aside from serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need awqaf. Without awqaf, there is no hope. We will continue to do the very sad fundraising, putting our hands in people's pockets and then taking it, and then people waiting around to see if maybe something happens or maybe something doesn't. This is not a sustainable way for a community to survive. We need to talk about the concepts of waqf, and it has to be brought back again. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهد إخواني وأخواتي الذين أتون من بلاد عربية ويتحدثون هذه اللغة الجميلة يدركون أن الوقف أمر معروف ويفهمونه. هناك وزارات في بلادنا لنهب الأوقاف، عفوا لجعل الأوقاف موجودة وموفرة للمسلمين. فكرة الوقف يا أخواني فكرة قديمة قدم الإسلام نفسه، نحن الذين بدأنا هذا الفكر، وإنما اتبع الناس والناس لنا في هذه المسألة تبع هذه القضية واضحة تاريخيا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بنى فكرة بيت المال والوقف، وأوقف الصحابة من أموالهم، وأوقف المسلمون من بعدهم من أموالهم، وجعلت الجامعات والمستشفيات والمدارس، جعلت هذه كلها أوقاف لله سبحانه وتعالى. إلى اليوم هناك أوقاف في بلادنا منذ أكثر من ألف عام، هناك صكوك تتحدث عن وقفيتها لله سبحانه وتعالى. وواجب المسلم أن يوقف من نفسه شيئا. يا أخي أوقف من نفسك شيئا لله، أي شيء، ماذا عندك؟ أوقف من وقتك، من مالك، من جهدك، من علمك، أوقف شيء. هناك شيء يسمى وقفية ابن خلدون، قضية وثيقة تاريخية. ابن خلدون رحمه الله لما كتب ما يسمى بتاريخ ابن خلدون وجزء منها طبعا المقدمة المشهورة، جعل في أول الكتاب كتب هذا وقف، أوقف الكتاب لله سبحانه وتعالى، وتسمى وثيقة وقفية ابن خلدون، وهي مدروسة تاريخية وهي جميلة جدا، فيها عبر ومواعظ يعني تتجاوز قدرتي في هذه الخطبة على التحدث عنها، لكن معنى لطيف وجميل. أنا لا أتخيل أن أمة أو مجتمعا قادر على القيام بنفسه، قادر على دعم ذاته واحتياجاته دون أن يكون فيه أوقاف. هذا المجتمع ليس فيه أوقاف، نحن فقط نجمع الأموال، والأشطر يجمع أكثر. من أشطر؟ من يستطيع أن يحفز الناس على الجمع ويقف واحد ويعمل لنا يعني عرضا سينمائيا وعرضا مسرحيا في الجمع، فيحفز هذا ويجمع هذا، ثم توضع الأموال في مكان لا يعرفه أحد إلا الله، ثم يبقى المال هناك سنين لأننا لا نعرف ماذا نصنع به. سوء توزيع الأموال وسوء استخدامها يعني لا يعود إلا على بالضرر على أي مجتمع ولا أي أمة. طبعا هناك فرق بين بيت مال المسلمين أيام الخلافة، كان هناك قوة سياسية، لكن المبدأ نفسه موجود، مبدأ أن يكون هناك ريع وقفي، صندوق وقفي لأي مجتمع، يعني منه يستفيد المجتمع ويأخذ يعني، وندعم المشروعات الصغيرة وندعم الشباب إذا أرادوا أن يتزوجوا أو يدرسوا. الواحد إذا أراد أن يدرس الطب يحمل 300 ألف دولار آخرها في كيف؟ يعني إذا أراد أن يدرس المحاماة ما ليس هناك أموال، لأن ليس عندنا وقف، لم نحرك هذا المعنى. واعلموا أن ما غنمتم فأن لله خمسه. هذه الآية جعلت هناك شيئا يسمى وقفا، أوقفت الخمس، هذا الخمس موقوف ما أحد يمسه. هذه آية عظيمة في سورة الأنفال. We have people working on an endowment fund for this center. It's going to be something we're going to pilot for the center. But I honestly, my dream is way bigger than that. I'm going to share it with you. And even if you don't like it, that's fine. But this is what I think. There should be an endowment fund for the city. We should stop having small fundraising events or dinners for the small little groups. We should have a large endowment fund where the people who have wealth put it in there. And we have it run by those who have expertise and are trustworthy from every background, belonging to every organization, so this is not doesn't become a part of just one or two organizations. And instead of giving money to groups or to organizations or institutions based on their talent in fundraising, we give it based on their need and based on the services that are going to be offering, so that we actually move that wealth effectively. And that would be way better. It's a better use of our time and our wealth. Unless you enjoy going to fundraising dinners. Maybe you do. Maybe you like to buy a ticket and sit and have a meal and feel important for a night. That's not how this is done. This is not how Muslims run their communities. I'm sorry. Maybe other communities do it that way. We don't do it that way. We put awqaf, we put endowments. and we put our money in one place, and then we distributed it. We distribute it properly amongst those who are serving ourselves, serving us, bringing services. It has to be service-based. It has to be. I've observed over the last 10 years fundraising events where a lot of money has been put together. I have no idea why. I have no idea where it's going. And I still have no idea where it went. I don't believe there's any corruption in our city. I don't. I honestly don't. Maybe I do not. I know the people who run the institutions. I believe they're clean, that their hands are clean, that they don't take anything to their pockets. But I think there's a problem with distribution. I think that we are not doing this effectively. People get tired of being asked to keep on giving different groups without seeing any output. It's difficult. There's a trust breach that I find exists in our society. I hope I'm wrong, but I feel there's a trust breach. People don't trust the institutions anymore. They don't want to give them wealth. That's a problem. If we don't put our wealth into our institutions, organizations, the people who work for us, then we are going to fail big time. It's going to trickle through into all of the massaging, all of the groups that are trying to advocate for us and work for us, and we're going to feel the pain. We're going to feel it later. So if there's a problem, then we need to fix it. If people don't trust anymore, we have to fix that. And we have to maybe try a different model. Maybe a model the Prophet ﷺ started for us, pioneered on earth for us, made sure that we were the first group to actually practice it. Endowment funds exist everywhere in the world. But not in Muslim communities, which is just blows my mind. How is it that others have taken the concept that we built, that we worked on, that we actually brought forward to the world? Go Wikipedia endowment funds. Best they, whenever they're done talking about Marcus Aurelius, you go after and see where they talk about, and they use the word waqf, and they use the words habs, habus. These are words that became international because Muslims, they did it. It worked. You have non-for-profit organizations that actually make their own wealth and put it back into the community and put it back into the economy and are not owned by anyone. That would be nice. That would be beautiful if you were able to do something like that on a city level, and then maybe beyond a city level, maybe on a province level, maybe on a country level, and we take care of our own, and then we take care of others. You know, I walk into the hospital every day, and I walk by this big this huge wall banner. It's huge. It's like 6-7 steps I have to walk. All the names of the big donors to the hospitals. How many of them do you think are Muslim institutions? How many do you think are Muslim institutions who actually put wealth? How many? There's none. There's not one. But you'll find a lot of other institutions that you claim are not, you don't like for different reasons. You don't like them for different reasons. You think they're evil, but their names are there. They put a couple of $1 million. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Unless we are truly in our numbers very, very few, and in our wealth strength very weak, meaning we have no money, unless we're like that, I can't explain it. I can't rationalize that or excuse it. It's just a lack of will, a lack of working together. Too many egos, too many big heads and smaller hearts slamming into each other. And then your children suffer. And the kid that could have learned to speak the language of the Quran, who could have memorized the Quran, who could understand their deen, who could have been equipped with the proper skill set, the kids, the people who are weak and vulnerable in our society, who need our support and our help, instead of them suffering and falling into substance abuse and crime, they could have been brought back and taken care of. We could have actually advertised Islam beautifully and brought Muslims in, knew and supported them and stood by them. We could have done so much because we have so much to give. It's just very depressing that we're not able to do it. And this is the final khutbah on the issue, anything to do with money in terms of law of success. I am not a money person, so maybe everything I said today was wrong. But at least the concept of waqf is right, because I'm not saying it. It's something he taught, alayhi salatu wasalam. I know it works. Now, whether it does or not, that's going to be up to us. There's going to be, inshallah, in a few weeks, a presentation. We'll talk about how we're going to pitch a small waqf fund for this place. And if it works, we want to try and see if we can take this bigger and see if we can actually bring everyone to the table and do something that's we can all later, even if it doesn't serve you today, it will serve your children in a decade or two. Sometimes you have to be able to think long-term, because we don't want, when I'm gone or when you're gone, when one of them is standing up here talking, they have to sit down and talk. Yes, 20,000 civilians of this part of the Muslim world have been buried under their homes as the UN continues to wonder whether we should give them any aid or not. And yes, we continue to watch hospitals being evacuated and journalists being shot dead in the street. If you don't want that to continue to happen, if you hope for a future to be for the future to be different, then we have to start thinking a bit longer. And we have to start thinking a little bit bigger. And we have to get over ourselves and the name, our names and our institutions and our organizations and all that other stuff that means nothing at all. It means nothing. No one cares. On the day of judgment, you just stand there wishing you never, that was never there to begin with. Because we'll be asked about what we were able to do and then didn't. And I'll end with that, and I hope that was of benefit to you. Inshallah, we do have a representative from the MRC here, and they offer counseling, and they're offering free counseling, and talk about housing, talk about domestic abuse. If someone wants to access that, then just please speak to us after Salah, and we'll make sure that that's available. The announcement, the announcement will be made by Brother Hamu, inshallah, after a prayer. وَعَلَمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج همومهم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين اللهم ارحم إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا وعنهم يا رب العالمين اللهم فرج عن إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة فلسطين وفي السودان وفي غيرها من بقاع الأرض مما لا نعلمه أو نعلمه يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين اللهم أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين اللهم أبقه عزيزا معززا إلى يوم الدين يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد